Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. For I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I was glad. I was glad. To me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will enter these gates, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with all my praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He's made me glad, people. He's made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. For I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. For I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. One more time. He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. For I will rejoice, for he has made.
You may be seated. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
Amen.
Amen. I got a song I want to do.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
He has made me glad.
Amen.
It's a good day to be in the house of the
Woo!
Lord.
Woo! Come on!
Yes.
Amen.
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 He is good. He is good. He is good.
Hallelujah. Praise him, Brother Mike. I will enter his gates with
thanksgiving.
Amen.
He's made me glad.
My.
I'm happy to be here. I made it one more time.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I don't know what I would do without this revelation. I don't know how I'd get through each day.
I don't either.
If it wasn't for God going through everything I go through with me and in me, I'd be lost.
Amen.
And I wasn't going to sing this song, but I was going to try to push it to Wednesday. God says, no, do it now. So I
want
to be sensitive to God.
Right.
I want to obey.
Amen.
And I want to get closer this year.
Yes.
So this, I've never done this style song before, so I'm going to try between my allergies and stuff. I don't know. I heard the preacher talking about three wooden crosses upon a hill for everyone to see. Two sinners on the outside couldn't save themselves if they tried. All I could think is, man, that sounds like me. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone in the wrong side of living. been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I could ever be forgiven. I'm standing here today with grace, cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. He didn't have to do it, but for me he went through it. A love like that I never understood. Lord knows I don't deserve it, and I know I couldn't earn it. Look, mercy rained down on this desperate man. I've been the one on the left, one on the left, guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. Been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I could never be forgiven. I'm standing here today overwhelmed by grace, cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man in the middle cross. The cross is where he went. He brought me back to life when he rose up out of that grave. Someday I'll stand before him until I see Jesus face to face. I'll worship and adore him for a life forever changed. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. Been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I could never be forgiven. I'm standing here today overwhelmed by grace, cause I know who paid my cost. Yeah. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. Thank God for the man on the middle cross.
It is good to be here. Let's sing We Are Standing on Holy Ground. I don't know what page it is. It's not in here. Yeah, but I can see it. They have the words on the
page. Hey, man, you know, that's a declared statement. You know, there's no guesswork in this. There's no if in this.
Amen.
It's yea and amen. You know, and
right.
You know, I refuse to think anything else but what the Bible says. What
yes.
The Word of God says, what He calls for this day. This is what I believe.
Right.
It's what I believe.
Right.
Satan, this is what I believe.
What I believe.
And call him right back to that light, you know. The true light now shineth. Darkness is past.
That's right.
This darkness here. This one out here is full light.
Right.
Full light.
Yeah.
Full understanding.
Full.
I refuse to look at anything different. I don't have to. I don't have to. Like Brother Moore says, yeah, that free moral agency's gone.
Uh-huh.
In my soul, I cannot reject the Word of God.
No.
My flesh does what it does.
Oh,
big
right.
deal.
That's
I right. cannot reject the Word of God. That's my emphasis. That's the thing.
That's it.
That's me. That's my life.
Yes.
That's all that I am.
And
I'm so thankful.
Amen.
So thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's start with the chorus first.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Holy ground. Holy ground. Standing.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
So let's I walk through the doors, I sense His presence, and I knew this was a place where love
for being here this morning. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be here. Always an honor. I was thinking about the message on Wednesday, and it was a beautiful message. Jeremiah brung it. And the one thing that stuck out to me with, you know, Pastor Moore got up at the closing about the keys, and I thought about in the natural, you know, for me personally. Before I, when I got my house, I didn't bring my keys, right? And I used to always go to the garage door opener. And you all know, sometimes the garage opener don't always work.
Right.
It don't work, right? It don't work. So, I told Sweat, I said, don't get frustrated using the garage opener. I'm bringing his keys now because I want to get into my house.
That's right.
And that's in the natural. I'm not letting nobody stop me from getting in the house. I'm just not going to do it. And I thought about, you know what? This is about in this place. I'm not letting nobody stop me from coming to the house. I'm not. I'm just not. I refuse to. I came too far. I mean, your isms and schisms, your ups and downs, I can care less about that. I'm being honest with you. It would really scare you because I do not care because I'm here to hear the word. That's the only thing that's going to matter. That's it. That is it. And I'm so glad that we're free here. We are so free here. It's scary. It's scary. We don't even think about hell. Hell's not even an option for the bride. It's not an option. We think about how we just think about, hey, we're just sitting here right now, just waiting for the bus. Like, we just wait for the bus. That's it.
Wait.
That's it. We got our ticket in hand, folks. I mean, amen. If that don't make you enthused, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. That's all I want to say. Thank God.
Amen.
Go ahead, buddy. Oh, so many things. We are standing on holy ground. You know, you think about in the old Bible how powerful God was that if he even touched that mountain. You know, you look at the old Bible and how God showed the law and showed how we couldn't do it. He just showed it over and over. But in this day, we have full access.
Amen.
Full access.
Yes.
You know, I was getting ready. Every time I get ready for church, I say, Lord, how are you going to use me today?
Yeah,
I don't want to sit on him ever. You know, and I was thinking, you talk about a key. You know, I look at so many things spiritual. And, you know, when I was at work, I had a badge. I didn't even have to have a key. And my badge would open every door. There wasn't one door in that building my badge couldn't open. Now, there are other people who had a badge. And their badge wouldn't open the door. Or their badge would open the door, but at certain times. My badge would open the door 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And that's where we're at now. We have full access. Nothing. Nothing is held back from us. And we have no worries. Full, as you say, full light.
Amen.
You know, Satan's there, but he's defeated.
Yes.
Now, he can come at me. He knocks me down at times. I get depressed at times. I get sick at times. But I have a key, and I swipe that key, and I see it all. I see the light. I know what he's done. We are standing on holy ground. When we walk in this, it just came over me. When I walk in this building, but you know, it's not just this building, this holy ground.
Yes. Right.
When I walk around this holy ground,
yes,
and people see me, they meet me, and I say a word to them, and they don't even know what's happening. They don't know that that's God in flesh giving them a word, letting this one by. This one, oh my goodness, God bless you, get another chance. I pray someone else runs into you. But we have a full revelation. I thank God.
That testimony was beautiful. Just swipe it. Just swipe that key. My goodness. Oh.
God is so good. I would feel just wrong to not come in his presence and just worship. You said that, Brother Isaiah, we just came to worship. Brother Kevin, you inspired me. Brother Mike, you inspired me. And I said, what can I do, Lord?
Yes.
So I think about the sacrifice he made. Without that, none of us would be here.
No.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he that sacred head for such a worm as I?
I'm gonna pick it up a little bit.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Was for crimes that I had done. He groaned up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Amen, amen. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart, it rolled away, it was there by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy. Just think of this. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. He's my everything. The day this message came to me, I have an ear to hear it. And I wake up in the night and can't sleep sometimes. Well, a lot of times. But what a great time when there's no distractions. Don't have to be nowhere.
Amen.
To think about what we know and who we are. The seals are broken. We know the past, the present, the future. And all things are given unto us. What an hour. What an hour. What an hour.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Brother Warren.
God bless you. Been gone for a couple of services, and it feels like about a month since I've been here last, boy. And, you know, I was just thinking about the fact that I'm an eagle.
Amen.
And, you know, I wasn't a buzzard and converted to an eagle. I was always an eagle. And I just thank God that I can hear the screaming eagle and know that that applies to me. You know, I can receive this word. Amen. I am just so thankful that I've got an ear to hear, that I could see my name in the book. And I just thank God he just gave me enough strength to get here today. Excuse me. And I just couldn't wait to get back in here. Because, you know, it's good hearing it online, but it's just a substitute. The real thing is being here in the presence, feeling the anointing, being with my brothers and my sisters, and just having pure fellowship in this mystery, in this word. And I just, I'm just beside myself. I don't know how to contain or express how I truly feel about this revelation, but I just thank God that I'm one of them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, Brother Seth.
Amen. It is so good to be here. Amen. So good to be here. Oh, Lord, I am so excited.
Amen.
You know, it's been a long week, Brother Warren. The work has been crazy, but you know what? I have something within me.
Yeah.
I love that because you know what? No matter what, talking about the eagle, it excites me. I start getting excited about the eagle because you know what? No matter what, I will rise above it all. I will rise above it all. No matter what the circumstances look like, I can't help but succeed.
Amen.
I can't be defeated in this day and age.
That's right.
You know, it sounds like a broken record, but you know what? A sound mind in a day and age like this.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord, that's enough to get me excited. But when you start talking about that eagle age, you see above your problems.
Yes, you do.
Amen. Oh, okay. Sorry. You see above your problems. You can't be distracted from it. You're not torn away from it. You're not sitting here like, well, I guess I wonder. There was a time where we wondered. Right. There was a time where you didn't know. That's you right. didn't have the answers.
That's right.
But when you can come here and you can hear and you know.
You know, man.
You now know.
Yes.
It's not a matter of circumstances. It's not a matter of maybe. It's not a matter of perhaps. It is the fact that I now know.
Yes.
I know who I am. I know where I've come from. I know where I'm going. No other age has known that.
No other age.
Talking about the access with the badge, I'll take it one more step closer.
Oh, my.
In my position, it doesn't start a work day till I get there.
Right.
Okay. I'm the one that leads the thing.
Yeah.
I'm the one that sees the patients.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah.
It's not a matter, the MAs can be there, the rad techs can be there.
Yeah.
But until I arrive, nobody gets seen.
Yeah.
Nobody gets seen. Until I'm on the scene, nothing can be done. That's how strong your revelation has to be.
Yes.
It can't be a matter of, well, like, I guess I'll let someone else talk for me.
No,
it has to be a personal revelation.
Because,
you know, once you say amen one time,
that's it.
That's it.
That's
you're
it.
A prisoner.
That's right.
It's a prisoner. Because then after that, it's over.
Yeah.
That spirit of the beast is upon you.
Yes, yes.
And if you are still struggling, you know, it's so easy because you either got it, or you don't. That's it. It's not a matter of gray. It's either you will rise or you will fall. You will do or you will not. It's. I love that whole entire thing about, you know, what you did with the birthright.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, he stole, he lied, but he honored that birthright. He would do anything for that birthright. He would put someone else's skin on for that birthright. But as soon as you get hungry, as soon as the first inconvenience comes your way, oh, I'm done. I'm starving. I'm dead. I'm on death's door. Oh, no. This eagle sees something.
Yes.
It will rise above. It can't even help. That's what kind of understanding you have to have is you got to understand that when you see this, you will never not see it.
Amen.
You will rise above every problem. Right. And you're over here saying, well, the devil's fighting me. No, God's going to put you through something. Because you know that pressure crushes that rose. You get that smell. If you look pretty, you're no different than a household plant. You put you outside, you'll die.
Die instantly.
But if you put some pressure on something, you manifest some character. This bride's got some character.
Amen.
We're not sitting here. We've been through some things. We're a real body with real problems. But you know what? We're still here.
That's right.
Our shoulders are still high.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody coming in being like, oh, Lord, pray for me. Oh, no. It's like, I got the keys.
Yeah.
I got the badge. It doesn't start till I get here. It's not even a service until you say something. You got to identify with it. What are you going to do? Just sit there and by proxy? Is this not yours? You got to take ownership of it. I want ownership of it. I want to lay my hands on it. And say, this is mine.
I need skin on him.
I'm sitting there singing, and my voice is going away. I'm like, I'm going to say something before it's gone. Just like I'm going to testify before it's gone. I believe I testify why I have a chance. Why shouldn't we? I'm a firm believer. If you got you up this morning and you dragged yourself into this building, you should be on your feet clapping. Because you are a victor. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's not a matter because Satan wants to say, well, look what you did. Look what you did. Hey, I'm above it. I'm above it. It's not even on my radar.
Right.
My job is to get the debt up. It's not even to worry about. I'm to the point now. I'm like, Lord, if you want to change, you're going to have to change it. You're going to have to change it. You're going to have to move. Because I got a job to do. I'm going to step out by faith. Well, he said, if you do it, you'll do it. I'll step out one more time. And eventually, before you even know it, it's changed.
Amen.
It's changed. Yeah. And you didn't even know it changed. That's the thing about it. You don't even know it changed.
Oh, my goodness.
But there has to be a push.
Yes.
It has to. I love what Brother Moore said Sunday. Fight. He says, you gotta, it's not just God. You gotta push.
Yeah.
Right. He put it in me. And I seeked him because he put it in me.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, well, Lord, whenever you're ready, you can just move me. I love what I went to a meeting and the leadership was like, you know what? You can't just sit there and wait for an opportunity.
No.
You've got to push. You've got to ask about the opportunities. You've got to ask about it. I can't expect a promotion if I don't seek it.
Right.
There has to be a push. In this day and age, an eagle doesn't just sit there and just glide. It pushes past it. Right. It pushes higher and yes. higher and higher. Yes. It's not a weak vessel. Right. A buzzard floats. Right. It's lazy. Yeah. It's just like, ugh. Yeah. If it's convenient. Yeah. Most of its time it's on the ground.
That's right.
The only time it gets up is if it needs to, if it has to.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, but an eagle rises. It can't help but rise.
That's right.
If something attacks it, it rises higher.
That's right.
If you can see that in the natural, oh Lord, that should you should see that in the spiritual.
Come on.
When Satan comes at you, you should be like,
right.
When someone hurts you, guess what? Be the bigger person.
Be the bigger person.
Be the bigger person.
Amen.
He said, Jesus said, turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
He didn't say let you beat up on him. He just said rise above the problems.
Yeah.
If you're getting fight, you're too low to the ground.
That's right.
You should be higher.
Take it into your
own. Oh, I am just so excited. It is such a real. When you see who you are,
goodness.
You can't even be persuaded anything
Amen.
Different.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the world says. I love it because you know what? I was telling my daughter, you won't fit in. You do fit in, you're not an eagle.
That's right.
You got to be different. The chickens on the ground, they'll pick at each other.
Yes.
They'll look at that flaw, look at that flaw, and they focus on the flaw.
Yeah, only.
They focus on the ground.
Yeah.
There's nothing to the ground.
No.
I have something better.
Amen.
A home in the air.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how far it is in the air, it's higher than the chicken can go.
Yeah.
That chicken can jump. There's only so high that chicken can jump.
That
eagle will fly. That eagle can see further than anything else. It's not confused. So when it comes to this revelation, yes, it is a priority. Well, the kids ask me, are you going to church? I'm like, well, what day is it? What day is it? Yeah, if I'm off of work, if I have an opportunity, I will make it a priority. I made sure I was here by 9:30.
Yes.
Not even because it's a law. That's not even that.
No.
It's because it's so beautiful to be in here and just
yes.
be in the presence.
Right. Right.
Because
right.
you bring stuff in.
Yeah.
You come in here with reverence. It's a it's the year of dedication. So I want to be serious when I come through those doors. I want to knock it off.
Amen.
Because I want to come in here and just say, Lord, use me.
Amen.
That's all he said was make a joyful noise.
That's
he didn't say deliver some new revelation. He said, prophesy again. It's already been prophesied. All you got to do is get up and be a willing vessel.
Yes.
Just throw a rock up. That's it.
We
do it. Enjoy. We do it all the time. But Lord, thank you for an understanding.
Amen.
Thank you for revelation. Thank you that I can hear. Not just hear, but gives me just the push. I'm thank God for a push in this age because everyone else is just so, it's Laodicean. It's lukewarm. There's no fire. There's just, ugh. It's just, ugh. I don't want to be blah for God. I want to be on fire. I'd rather see you be ice cold than blah. I'd rather see you be the coldest person. But Lord, thank you that I am just one more time that I had the opportunity to get in here.
And I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings. I'm gonna leave this world behind for better things. Very soon I'll say goodbye. I'm gonna wing my way to the eastern sky. My soul is ready to leave. I was born to fly. Well, what's it like to be an eagle? And soar the sky. Well, I don't know just how it feels, but someday I know I will. For there's something telling me I was born to fly. And I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings.
I got some announcements here.
Amen.
It is good to be here. My goodness. So far, I'm enjoying the testimonies and everything. So, Kentucky trip is on March 30th to the 31st. Church is leaving at 9 a.m. sharp. Not 9:15, not 9:10. Be here by 8:30, 8:45. And you're on time, because we've already known, you know, this place has started way before time, and you think you're on time getting here 15 minutes early, but you're already late.
Already missing.
So we've got a men's fellowship here, April 27th for the brothers. And then for the sisters, we've got a fellowship for them on June the 1st. And pastor's going to be leaving us to go to Pastor Fred Mullins' church on the 20th of this month. This month?
Next? I will be here next Sunday.
Next, okay. Okay.
I'll be there.
Okay. And just be on the lookout for more details to come. Let's sing. Oh.
I just want to thank God for being here another time. You know, this is where my bread is buried. And I just get it. I love God, and this is where I'll give him the praise, because he's worth it all.
Yes. Amen.
It's funny, like, y'all think I don't talk, but in my head, I'm always talking. My head, God's always. But I just thank God. I love every single one of y'all, and I just thank God for this place. I thank God for one of them. And
yes.
His word, his word's like the river. It's always flowing, and it's always going.
Oh,
and
goodness.
If it doesn't flow, then it's not God. And on, I just love this place. It just keeps going. I love y'all.
I love that. I love that. If it's not flowing, it's not God.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Let's sing 155, Food in the Storehouse, Kia G, and we'll get him up. Thank you for the testimonies.
Praise God.
God bless y'all. In this day, men are in dark. From the true word, many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God. For this our day, a word for the pride Jesus has sent out of said. Please don't not add to anything I said. Stay with the word given to us for this our day.
No shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feed my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the of God's word. And this day men are in dark from the true word. Many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God. For this our day, a word for the bride Jesus has sent. Round in his mouth the word of God went, spoken to us by God's prophet. For this our day, oh yes, there's food in the storehouse. Oh, food in the storehouse. There is plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Oh, no shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Sister and brother, plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Oh, there is food in the storehouse. There is food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Oh, there's no shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us meet my sisters and brothers. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word.
Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, so grateful for this opportunity to be in your house one more time. Thank you for this atmosphere, this opportunity to come and share some of this food that we have had placed in the storehouse for us. If it hadn't been for the prophet coming and storing this food up, Lord, we wouldn't have anything to eat today. But Lord, we've been eating year after year. You continue to feed us. You've never let us go one day without food. Lord, you don't let us get tired. You don't let our robe get worn. But you've dressed us by the robe of your word. And it's renewed day by day. And as we walk through this life, Lord, You've made it so that this message doesn't get old and tiresome to us. But it gets better every time I come to the house. It gets sweeter as I hear more about you. As you describe yourself to me, Lord, I love you more than I've ever loved you in my life. I'll give you everything because, Lord, you gave me everything. And Lord, as we come to this place in the service, Lord, one more time we're opening up the doors to the cupboards and reaching into that storehouse for some more food. For we need sustained. We need to be kept. We want you to just feed us one more time, Lord. Those who might be here or sick in body, Lord, we ask you to send forth that food to bring healing to the body. Those that might be out today with sickness, whatever the problem is, Lord, you move in their behalf. And some sickness is mental, some sickness is physical. Some sickness is spiritual. But Lord, that same food that can heal one can heal all. And Lord, we ask you to bind every hindering spirit that might try to keep us from eating your word. But loose your spirit in these aisles that you can walk these aisles and reveal yourself to us like never before. Oh Lord, you know what we're waiting on. We're waiting on that last revelation, the last understanding, the last move of the Holy Spirit on this side, for us to finally find out the key to opening that door between us and those that have gone on before us. The key to open the door between our bodies and that supernatural glorified body. The key to move us from this world.
Yes.
That's what we're here for. Nothing else matters. My opinion doesn't matter. My thoughts don't matter. Oh God, it's what you want. Have your way this morning. Speak to our hearts. Move us aside. And come amongst us one more time. Thank you for all those that are here, Father. Touch the Earlies down in Florida. Be with Jimmy down in Kentucky. And Sister Keene, who's not here today. Lord, just continue to touch her body. Touch your bride around the world. Give us strength. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. It's always good to be back, no matter what day it is. And I see you all caught on to the time change. Because you'd be walking in about now. So it's glad you, actually, when I got here, people got here early, which I would have thought they would have got here a little bit later because it's a later hour, but I think they might have been a little hungry. They wanted to get into the house of the Lord. And I don't blame them because I wanted to be here myself. Now, one more announcement is we're going to have a board meeting this evening. I don't want to forget to do that. So that's going to be at 6 o'clock. Well, I was just thinking we have Sunday night service at 7. 1 hour should be enough. So we'll meet at 6 tonight and have our board meeting. Now, I'm going to be out, Lord willing, next weekend, going down to some family thing in Atlanta. And from there, I hate to go down to Atlanta anymore. It's becoming a habit that if I go to Atlanta, I need to go to South Carolina. It's on the way home. You know, how can I not stop? It's about, I think Melanie said it was like 5 hours north from Atlanta. So I called Brother Fred and we're going to be going to see him on Wednesday night. So we'll be having services there on Wednesday. And it's good to get out because we need to get out. And we have Easter coming up, so I'm looking forward to that. They've asked me to minister on Saturday night, so you pray for us because we'll be on the road Saturday, and then I'll have to do one of Brother Childers' deals. When we took that bus ride, we had trouble with the bus on the way down there. That old school bus broke down on us. It had about 50 or so people in there and chairs in the middle of the aisles. Brother Childers loaded us up, and but on the way down to South Carolina, the bus broke down, and it actually took us 24 hours to get there between the bus breakdown and the road trip. And by the time we got there, it was like 5 in the evening, and service was at 6. Brother Childers had just enough time to wash the grease off his hands from working on the bus and get over to the church. And then he got there and preached for 4 hours.
He did.
It was some trip, some service. So I could not do near hold a light to that man and what he did. But going down to Easter, I'll have to get down there Saturday evening just in time to turn around and preach Saturday night. So that's okay. I'm not complaining. I just I know it can be done because Brother Childers has shown me everything I need to do. He set the example, so I have no excuse but to follow that lead. And I pray that I leave Jeremiah some footsteps and some places to where I could help him along the way as well. Brother Childers set me up, and so I can't make excuses for nothing. But it's good to have you all here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, I'm going to go into the scripture pretty quick here. I got a thought I want to talk on, And sometimes I think I need to remind us, because I was thinking about this, and I said, I preached this a couple of months ago or something. I read that scripture anyway, I know, and I talked about them a while back. But this is the new year. This is a new year dedication. If you've ever been serious about God, you say, well, what's the difference between this year and last year? Well, God didn't ask for that last year. Time out for having your own thinking. You know, you got away with it last year, but this year, God ain't playing. You're going to come subject, or like Seth said, you're either going or not. You're going to do the will of God or you're not. And it's not even, I love this, it's in an hour that we don't make anybody serve God. You don't want to serve God, don't. Please, don't. Because you'll mess it up. But if you do want to serve God, it's an hour to be serious about it and more dedicated. And if Satan's ever going to try to pull you away, it'll be this year. If ever Satan's going to try to give you a reason to have your own ideal, it'll be this year. And if Satan's ever going to try to put any rock between you and God, it's going to be this year. You say, well, is the Lord coming this year? I pray he is. I pray we get so dedicated that God will say, you know what? They did exactly what I wanted, and they didn't realize it, but this is the year I'm doing this. But, you know, he ain't said that, not to me. I pray he is saying that, because if he says it, he'll do it. So I want to go and read a scripture here. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. Got a few verses I want to read here. And very familiar reading. But I want to talk on something this morning that's going to really, it enthuses me. I get excited when I'm studying. I don't know. I sit there and I read something and then God says something. I say, oh God, I like that. I'm talking to him. Sometimes I talk out loud in my study. It's like, oh God, I like that. That's something else. I found myself doing that last night. I was reading this and I thought, oh Lord, this is good. So it's nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun, but it's just reminding us. So go over to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to start at verse 10. Now, let's stand this morning. You say, we never stand. Well, we are this morning. It ain't going to hurt you. And if it does hurt you, you need it. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I want to title the message this morning, Dressing for Service. Dressing for service. And I was thinking about this, and this scripture come to my mind, and I got this from Wednesday night, listening to Jeremiah, because that's where we normally get our messages from each other. I was thinking about the military. Some of you have been in the military. When you get in the army, they give you everything you need. When I went to boot camp, I didn't have to supply nothing. I didn't have to bring my own gun. I didn't have to bring my own shoes. I didn't have to even bring my own dress. They took all my clothes off. They dressed me like they wanted me to be dressed. They gave me a backpack. Jay, you've seen them. And those backpacks are loaded with everything you need. So you don't have to go to the store to buy a thing. If you're going to have a tent, you know where that is? In the backpack. If you need a canteen, it's in the backpack. If you need a shovel, it's in the backpack. Everything you need comes when you join the army. You get everything you need, and you don't need nothing else. You don't have to add to, and you better not take away. Because you say, well, this shovel, I don't need this old thing. Throw it out. Leave it in the barracks. When you get out in the field and the sergeant says, okay, we're staying out here for the night, you have to dig yourself a hole, and you left your shovel at the... No. You got to have everything with you that you need. Now, what I'm finding out is that people are trying to do God a service without being dressed. Fully dressed. Not just dressed. You got to have everything that you need. And so I was thinking about that because we've got to be able to outsmart the devil. Oh, the devil's smart. He's dumb but smart. Only thing that makes him dumb is an unbeliever. That's what makes him dumb. But don't think he's not smart. Like we always say, that push me, pull you, king of the hill. Devil don't mind. He'll either push you off the hill or he'll pull you off the hill, as long as he gets you off the hill. He'll make you feel like you're not good enough for this, or he'll make you feel like you're so good you don't need nobody. And he don't care which one you get. And I see people get it all the time. They get so self-righteous, they got so much God, they don't need a pastor. Or they're so awful that they might as well not go to church because they're so rotten that nobody wants nothing to do with them. The devil don't mind either one of them. He don't mind you believing in God. He believes in God. He knows there's a God. More than some of us. He knows what he's fighting against. And he knows you. He follows you everywhere you go. He knows you're good, you're bad, and you're ugly. He knows the stuff that you don't tell anybody. You know why? Because he's there. He saw you when you did it. God might forget. Satan doesn't. He's going to remind you. See, the thing that he's going to do is try to bog. His goal is to bog you down so that you are no good for God. He wants to push you or pull you so that God can't use you. But the thing is, you're in the army of the Lord. But a lot of people go out and they don't take the shovel with them. A lot of people go out and they all say they believe in God, because everybody believes in God. Have a blessed day. Everybody believes in God, from the president down, from the Pope down. Everybody believes in God. But you know what? They don't have all the equipment. And that's why I want to go back over this. I think, don't you go out without all the equipment. Because the devil's out there. He's witty. He's smart. He beguiles. He got Eve. He tricked her. And he's going to try to trick you.
I looked up the word wild because I thought, the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? You got to know what they are to know, you know, how to deal with it. And we read these scriptures, but we don't know what they're talking about. We read over it, that you may be standing on all the wiles of the devil. Yeah. Get me to the helmet. Get me to the feet. Get me to the sword. Get me to the, yeah. Let's start there. You got to know your enemy. You got to know what your enemy's going to do.
Amen.
You got to know how the enemy's going to attack you.
Amen.
Now, wile, W-I-L-E. It's a trick, a stratagem intended to ensnare or deceive. Also, a beguiling or playful trick. And the second definition is skill in outwitting. That's the devil. He's skillful. He's skillful. And you got to know your enemy, because if you don't, he's going to sneak up on you and put a whammy on you, and you're going to think you're either too good or too bad. He's never going to say you're okay. He's never going to say you're okay. He's going to say you're either too good for God's people or too bad for God's people. And both of you end up leaving the church. Because I've had people leave the church because they're so rotten. Can't make it. Oh, I can't live this. I can't do this. And just will it away. But the truth of the matter is, you can't do this. Not unless you get the equipment from God. Let me send you on the front line with nothing. You can't do this on your own. You cannot be an island. Not in this hour. And if you feel like you're an island, you better find somebody. Because this is not an hour to be alone. This is an hour to be a part of something. You got to be a part of a body, not just a body. Because that's the devil trying to separate you and make you your own person. When you all by yourself. I'm not by myself. I got a seven-age body that I'm tied to. I got a prophet that I'm tied to. I got a local assembly that I'm tied to. I got a five-fold ministry that I'm tied to. I got brothers and sisters that I'm tied to. Oh, I'm not alone. So you got to outsmart the devil. You got to recognize him in all of his tricks. And it wasn't until this day that we had the equipment to be able to recognize him. The devil don't trick the bride.
No, no.
Not at all. He is so exposed. He's standing there naked before us. We know him when he comes. He can't even use me unless I let him. You don't trick us.
No.
You're not tricked.
No.
You're not. You're tricked as much as Jesus was. Jesus chose a devil to walk with him. Judas didn't trick Jesus. He picked his. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want that one. I want you, Judas. Come follow me. And then gave him the purse. Knowing he loved money. Why did he give it to Matthew? Matthew was a better accountant than Judas. So Jesus was not tricked when he said, Judas, come follow me and carry my purse. Carry my money. Judas was, he knew what he was doing. Jesus was never tricked. When he got before Pilate, and Pilate said, don't you know I have authority? I can kill you. Jesus said, you don't have authority to take my life. I freely lay it down.
Amen.
In the hour we're living in, the devil can't take our life. We freely lay it down. We are not tricked in this hour, saints, I'm telling you. You say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I messed up. I didn't. No, you did that on purpose. You knew going in. If you're the bride, you know going in. Now, if you're not the bride, you're getting tricked all over the place. So you're going to have to ride this thing all the way out, people. Yeah. Like Brother Children says, ride the horse all the way. Amen. Either you know all things or you don't know nothing. Amen. No in between them. It's black and white, turn or burn, in or out, right. Saved or sinner.
Yes, Lord. I hear you, Lord.
That's where it is. Yes. You say, well, oh, but I'm confused. Oh, why? I'm not sure why. If you're confused or not sure, then Satan's somewhere close to you. And you need to look around because you need to understand who you're dealing with. Because, matter of fact, you should be running the devil. Amen. Not the devil running you. Amen. Brother Children said, I want one thing when I get out of here. I want to always keep a right mind. Yes. And he did. He knew. We should know. A trick intended to ensnare or deceive. That's the devil for you. And let's see where wile is used. Verse 11, put on the whole armor. Whole is a key word that we overlook. Whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You cannot stand against the wiles of the devil if you don't put the whole armor on.
Amen.
Oh, you say, oh, I'll take my weapon. See, we call it a weapon because you can't call it a gun in the army. Call it a weapon. I know I was bothering Jay. I called it a gun. I knew it was bothering. When I said gun, I said, no, Jay's going to get me. It's a weapon. You can't just take your weapon and run out to the front line. You can't just put your helmet on and run out to the front line. You can't just put on part of the armor. See, some people walk around here with part of the armor on, and it's real armor. It's real army-issued armor. They got part of it, but they don't have all of it. And the reason they don't have all of it is because something about it that they don't like. And you can't win the war with part armor on. If you're falling on your face and you can never make it, and this thing is just the worst thing ever, you need to get dressed. Because we got to withstand the trickery of that devil. We got to understand his trick. See, the thing is, if you are a seed of God, you are a seed of God. Amen. The devil himself can't take that away from you. There is no changing that. I come from God and I'm going to God. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. Amen. Now, in between coming from God and going to God, there's a lot of things that happen. But in order for you to win, you have to put on the whole armor. Why do you think he said whole armor? Yeah. Not just part. Don't just wear the helmet. No. Put on the whole armor. Yeah. That's the only way they're going to do this. That's the only way you're going to stand. That's the only way you're going to be able to be who you really are. And you know what? Now that the hour that we're living in, nobody was able to do what we can do now.
Amen.
We can forgive like never before. We can love like never before. We can bind, we can loose like never before. Why? That's all part of the equipment. Now, here are the elements of the whole armor of God. I'm just going to list them because there's one, two, three, four, five, six items. Your loins. Number one, have to be girt about with truth. With truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. You can't live a lie and serve God. You can't be half in and half out and serve God. Salt water and sweet water. Can't have both. You got to first be honest with yourself and ask yourself, where am I? Jesus said, examine yourself. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now, there's things you need to do to examine yourself. And the first thing is gird yourself with truth. Surround yourself with truth. Surround your life with truth. Amen. Surround your home with truth. Yes. Surround your job with truth. Yes. When they want to know what's going on, they should be able to come to you. Now, I know the boss said this, and I know the foreman said that, but, you know, tell me the truth. There should be something about you that draws truth out. Yes. Got to put it all on. You got to get to a place where you are not a liar. Because Jesus isn't a liar. Satan's a liar. And the father of it, of all lies, he's the beginning, the father. He's the one. And he tricks with lies. God's word is true. God deals with truth. God walks in truth. God's people walk in truth. Yeah. That's part of the duffel bag. Yeah. If anybody's going to want to know what's going on in this world, they're going to ask you. Right. And they're not going to get some off-sided, unbalanced answer. They're going to get the truth. Yeah. People ask me things all the time. I give them the truth. They ask me about a lot of stuff. All kind of stuff. And I give them the truth. You got to be girded about with truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, one thing about all this armor, it's all on the front. It's all on the front. Every bit of it. None of it's on the back. You don't have to protect your back. Because your brother and sister's got your back. We don't run. We don't retreat. We don't look back. Oh, I had it better when I was apostolic. Oh, I had it better when I was down in Sodom. Oh, I was better when I had this problem or when I had this going on. Oh, I was much better off before I ever met y'all. Not to brag. Some people might try to wear their armor on their back. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm trying to read through this. I'm going to break all of them down. Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those are the six things you got to have. Those are the six things that come whenever you sign up for the Lord's army. Those are the six things he gives you. And you got to use every one of them. There's not one piece of equipment God gives you that you can leave in the barracks. You need it all. You don't have to have that little pan that you can cook with out there, Jay. That's in the bag. Everything that God gives you to become a soldier for him, he supplies every bit of it. You don't have to bring none of it. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to pay. I didn't pay a dime when I got in the military. Amen. They took care of my travel. Right. They took care of my lodging. They took care of every meal. Yeah. They took care of everything. How much more will God do his soldiers? Amen. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said in the greatest battle ever fought. And so an army, first, in getting ready for a battle, first there's got to be a select, some soldiers. First of all, you got to be called of God. Everybody that tries to get in the army don't get in there. Everybody who wants to be in the military don't get in there. God has a selected military army. He selects his soldiers. They've got to be dressed for fighting. Not just come to church. Just come here and say, well, it's a nice place to come. Oh, I love this atmosphere. It's a good place to be. No. You got to be dressed. Because we've got to fight. If I'm on the front line, I got all my gear on, and Jay comes and hops in my foxhole, and he's got a tuxedo on, like he had a few weeks ago. No weapon. No helmet. Not even a shovel. And I'm sitting in this foxhole with everything on, sweating because it's hot. You know, when you wear all the gear, it ain't comfortable. It ain't comfortable. And I'm sitting here sweating, and Jay hops in the foxhole. Whoo! Whoo! Well, what are we going to do? I ain't going to depend on him. Because he don't have on the right equipment. He's not prepared to fight. Some people, see, I'm not going to say some of y'all. I'm just going to say some people are not prepared to fight. They come to church, don't know why they're here. They don't want the word. They've got to be dressed for fighting. Amen. They've got to be trained for fighting. You don't just beat the devil because you just showed up and decide, I'm going to whip the devil. Uh-uh. You got to be trained. You got to have some sergeants. You got to have somebody that's been there. Somebody that's been down the road. Something like Brother Childers said, get it, get it, get it. When you see those spirits, get it, get it, get it. Have to have somebody who's been through something. That's right. If you ain't been through nothing, you can't train me. Amen. That's why the young people should follow their elders. Right. Because the elders have been through it. They've been where you are going. Right. You got to have somebody to train you. You got to have somebody to teach you how to use a sword. Got to tell you how to get this. You know, when we got a duffel bag full of stuff, when we first looked at that, we're like, what in the world is this? And you turn the pans upside down, and you're trying to figure out, what is this used for? And the shovel don't look like a shovel. It's a little pointed thing like this, and it folds back over the handle so it'll fit in a duffel bag. But when you pull it out, I would have thought you were going to work in a garden with it. It didn't look like, but when we got to training, and those mean sergeants got a hold of us and told us how to use every piece of equipment. They showed us how to use every piece of equipment. They showed us how to break a weapon down, how to clean it, how to put it together, how to shoot. They showed us how to do everything. We had somebody who'd been down the road. Don't you try to tell me where you're going when you don't know. Amen. You got to be taught in this army. You don't just come to the church and just because you and God got a relationship, you got it made. Uh-uh. You got to be trained to do this thing. You don't even know the devil's on you until I tell you, hey, that's the devil. That's why I told Isaiah, you don't even know the questions to ask. Don't ask now. Sit down. Just learn. Because you're learning how to defeat the devil. You look at a young person, and you look at an old person. I'm not looking at anybody. But you look at the two, the young person will struggle a whole lot more than an older person. Let's say older. Somebody's been through it. Somebody's been, I've been left before. Oh, I've had my girlfriends walk away from me. Oh, I've had my friends walk away from me. Oh, I've had to stand up when my family didn't want to go through it. Oh, I had to give up when the church split, and I had to stay with the word on top of my friends. Been through there. Been through all of that. A new person, they don't know. They're upset because a pencil broke. Ain't been through nothing. Don't know nothing. Haven't been taught. But if you hang around somebody who knows, oh, that's why I hung around Brother Childers. See, y'all thought I was dumb. I wasn't dumb at all. I come to this church, and I found the smartest, wisest man in the building. And I followed with that guy. I followed that guy because he had all the answers. He was a go-getter. He was a worker. You got to remember, I was 19. I had never done any real hard work in my life. I was a busboy in high school, bussing tables. That's all I knew. That's it. Didn't know nothing else. Zero. I got around that man. I learned how to do all kinds of stuff. I even painted my own car. By the time he got with me, got through with me, I bondoed, sanded, painted my own car. He taught us how to work on cars, how to build houses, how to save money. He told us that when the market dropped on the houses, which we didn't even know the market had dropped on the houses, because we didn't follow no market. We didn't know nothing about houses. And Brother Chittle was all beside himself. He was like, you brothers, you need to get your money together and buy a house. And he said, I don't even care if two or three you have to get together and do it. He was standing up there, the watchman on the wall, hollering, it's a good time. It's a good time. And we're all sitting down with our $1.99 thinking, why is he up in arms about this? And why is this so important? And what is he? And I mean, he was standing, stomping and stuff. Get it. Buy it. Do it. And we're like. But what we didn't know, because we weren't born in 1930, we hadn't been through the Depression. We hadn't seen the market where the prices went up. All we knew is what the houses cost. All we knew is we couldn't afford it. But he told us, he said, this is the cheapest these houses are going to be ever. If you can get them, get them. We didn't have two dimes to rub together, but we listened to him. And those who listened to him went out and somehow got themselves a house or two. Somehow they got, and you know, those houses that were bought back then at least triple right now in value. Triple or more, and they will never go back. Now we're on this end because now we're 64 and we're looking back saying they'll never be as cheap as those houses were. They were giving them away. We didn't know but Brother Childers had been down the road. He knew what he was talking about, and by hanging around somebody who knows what he's talking about, you can pick things up and learn. But just don't hang around. You got to do what they say. You need teachers. You need somebody who's been down the road. You need somebody who's been through the problem you're going through. You need somebody who has answers. Don't come to me with your answer. Because you don't know. I know. And I know you don't know. He said, they got to be dressed for fighting. They got to be trained for fighting. And I believe that the greatest battle that was ever fought is now ready to go in action. Right now. Right now. I believe that God has been selecting his soldiers. I believe he's been dressing them. Training them. And the battlefront is now set. Getting ready to start. This, we were just getting ready to do. This was in 1962, he said this. So he knew we hadn't even begun to fight. We needed to be trained. We needed to get in that duffel bag, find out what our stuff is, find out what all these things are, and then start using that stuff that we needed. And I'm not going to read it, but Revelation 12 talks about the fight that was in heaven. The war always starts in heaven. Starts in heaven, then it comes down to the earth. Yes. Brother Branham said, the great battle, first battle that was ever fought, began in heaven, when Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. It first started, the first battle was in heaven. So sin did not originate on earth, it originated in heaven. That's where it started. He wasn't the first one to sin. It started in heaven with that unbelief, that unbelieving devil was there. And then when it was thrown down from heaven, cast out of heaven to the earth and fell on human beings. Then the battle from angels became human battles. And Satan come to destroy God's creation. What God has created to be for himself, he had Satan come to destroy this. That's what his purpose was to destroy it. Then the battle began here on earth. And the battle's in us and has been raging ever since. Amen. This battle's been going on for a long time. But now God's getting us arrayed. He's getting us ready. He's getting us trained. He's getting us equipped. Some of you don't even know the equipment you got in your bag. But it's in there. God don't leave you without something to use for every situation, every circumstance, every problem. You don't have to carry the load. When you're in the army, you're not doing the whole thing yourself. All you are responsible for is what's right in front of you. When you're fighting, you're only responsible for what's in front of you. I can't tell what's going on a mile down the line. It's not my responsibility, but I'm depending on them to be doing what they're doing down there while I'm doing what I'm doing up here. You are not responsible for the whole message. Just your part. And your part is to hold up the line where you're at. I remember, I think I told the story before, I was at camp and a woman, car broke down. I was on the front line and we were supposed to not let nobody in there. And I'm under a foxhole. We had dug the foxholes and I'm in there and I'm out looking and this woman coming down the road, her car stopped. She got out, put the hood up. I was like, yeah. Because there was another company who was trying to get in on our line. And I was sitting there and watching this. I thought, she ain't coming over here. And then they tried to come in. And, of course, we fired on them. We're like, you ain't coming in here. Of course, it was just a woman from the other platoon. She was a trick. She tried to beguile us. And come to find out, she was from their platoon that driving her car trying to get in our line, and we didn't let her in. That's what you got to do. Your job is to hold up the message where you're standing. You don't have to be the pastor. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the musician. You have to be who you are. And you stand where you're at and hold that front line. Amen. Because this church is only as weak as you are. This message is only as weak as you are. If you let the devil beguile you and sneak in and lie to you and get you all tore up and messed up, then you know what? You're the weakest link. And the devil can sneak in through the church through you. That's what he does. I don't have the quote here, but Brother Brennan was talking in Christ the Mystery, said, you know, you might be a sweet group right now. I'm paraphrasing. Free, you're a sweet group right now. But he said, but Satan will raise somebody up. And it comes in through the weak link. If you don't have all your armor on, and you may have laid your helmet aside, or you may have laid your weapon down, or you may have taken off your feet the shoes, you might be out there sitting and doing nothing for a minute, but watch out. Satan will use you. He said, what you do is get that much closer together. When you feel yourself pulling apart, realize that's Satan trying to get through your line. He's trying to get to the church through you. Then you become the weakest link. Then you allow Satan in you. Then you'll come in. Brother Brown said he'll come in and he'll shoot somebody in with a little poison. And he said it'll go through the body. It'll go through the church. He said it'll hurt you, church. It'll hurt you, pastor. We've seen it time and time again, Don. I've seen it so much. And I could see the poison coming, and I clip that arm off before it gets up to the... I've had groups leave, and y'all didn't even know they were gone until after they were gone. Long after they were gone. And somebody said, whatever happened? So, oh, they left 6 months ago. Cut them off. I've lost more than you. I ain't holding on to nobody in this church. If I see you looking gangrenish, you say, what's gangrene? Starting to question the word. Starting to question the church. Starting to question the pastor. Starting to question yourself. Cut it off. It'll kill the whole body if you let it set. That's why I warn you all, examine yourself. Make sure you're not gangrene. He said, nah, I'm going to skip that. I'm just going to jump right on down to the items to put on. I'm skipping all that other stuff because time gets away from me. Items to put on. First item, your loins girt about with truth. John chapter 17. I have given them thy word. This is what Jesus said. I have given thy word. And the world hath hated them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are not of this world. Amen. You're as different as night and day. You don't fit, can't fit, never have, never will. You have a hunger for the truth, and it can't be satisfied by anything other than coming to the house of God. Got to be here, got to be a part, got to partake, got to, I got to have it. It's like, it's worse than drugs. I got to have this. I've got to have this. It's not even optional. I'm not just doing this because I don't have nothing else to do on Sunday morning. I would do this on Monday. I would do it on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If that's where God wanted, that's where I'd be, because you know what? I got to have him. It's not the day of the week. It's wherever he is.
That's right.
They're not in this world, even though I am not in this world. I pray that thou should not take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil, from those snares, from the wiles of the devil. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Here's what your loins should be girded with. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me to the world, even so I have sent them to the world. By the truth. You got to have the truth. You're not equipped to fight the devil. Do you know why denominations around the world are in trouble today? They don't have the truth. They don't have what it takes to fight the devil. They don't even know where the devil's coming from. You know, the first thing you got to know is where your enemy is. Got to know where they're at. They have no clue. They're like, oh, I don't want 666 in my change. Here, let me buy a candy bar. So I'll make sure it's 7. I don't want the mark of the beast on me. Hallelujah. I'm a good apostolic. They took the mark a long time ago. But they don't know it. Man of sin has been exposed and revealed at the end time. And they don't know it. See, without truth, you don't even know how to fight the devil. Oh, I don't believe that. And you have nothing. You throw it out of your duffel bag. You're not equipped. You got to know truth. You got to understand truth. You got to know where the devil is. And you got to know that you are not of the world, and what you have is something that the whole world needs but can't get. Do you know you have access to information that they don't have? Do you realize that when Abraham was standing on the mountainside with the Lord himself, he said, should I hide anything from my friend? God has not hid anything from us, but he has fully revealed everything. Now we're equipped. Now we have the word of truth. Now we have what we need to defeat the devil with. We have to have our loins girded about. We need to be covered with the word. Brother Branham said, but here's one thing. If a man is called of God, he'll stay with the Bible. I don't care what he has to do. You must remain that it's the, you must remember that it's the truth. And the truth either binds or set free, Seth. There you go. That's what you said. See, the binds are set free. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ said. When you run across truth, it's either going to make you free or it's going to bind you to the judgment. That's what it's going to do. A lot of people have left this church bound for the judgment because they walked out from under truth. But you got to gird your loins with truth. You got to cover yourself with truth. You got to realize you got to have that. Breastplate of righteousness. Now, the thing about the breastplate of righteousness, I love this because Exodus chapter 28, verse 35, and it shall be upon Aaron the minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he dieth not. Remember, Aaron was a high priest. You don't just walk any of your way. A lot of people think, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. Hallelujah. I don't have to live nothing. I don't have to give God nothing. I don't have to do nothing. God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. You never really want to serve him in the first place. It wasn't even in your heart to serve God. You just did it because of money, popularity, or women. But Aaron had to go into the holies of holies. You have to go into the holies of holies. And you got a certain walk you got to walk. Amen. That bell had to ring every other step. And if it stopped ringing, they knew that Aaron had died. There was some sin in his life, and he come before God and didn't sacrifice it. And because he didn't sacrifice it, God killed him. People don't want to take God at his word. They want to come and they want a place called church. They want to come in here any old way, act any old way, walk any old way. But you can't do that. Your bell has to ring a certain sound. It's got to have a certain sound when you walk in the house of God, in the presence of God. It's got to have a certain sound to it. Oh, you just can't be your own. You're a prisoner, somebody said this morning. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. You walk like God wants you to walk. You talk like God wants you to talk. You live like God wants you to live. You're a real prisoner. A prisoner does not tell where he goes. A prisoner does not tell when he gets up, when he lays down, what he even going to eat. Can you see him in prison now saying, what's for dinner today? Lima beans. Well, I don't think I want any lima beans. You got a steak back there? I think I feel like a steak today. I ain't no prisoner. Prisoner comes into the house of God walking a certain way. Saying, Lord, here am I. Lord, I'm offering myself to you. I'm a blank page today. When I walk in here, Lord, speak to me. Talk to me. Use me. So I don't want to be used. You're not a prisoner. That's what I love about this. It's like, I don't have to make you do anything. I don't. You're not my prisoner. I'm not holding you hostage. If you stop coming to church here today, I ain't got nothing to say about it. Go make yourself happy. I've told people before, sitting right in this church, I said, what are you doing here? Go find you somebody that can help you. I can't help you. When your pastor can't help you, then you need to go find you a new one. Now, I've told people that. I've had them march out, walk out, disappear, everything else. But you know what? I don't care. Get rid of it. Because you know what you do? Brother Ben says you hurt your pastor. If all you do is cause me problems, why would I hold on to something that's giving me heartache? It ain't helping you. It ain't helping me. It ain't helping the body. Who's the fool? Amen. Brother Childers had that brother back in the back, and he said, Brother Childers, Ichabod is written over the door. It's one of his preachers. God's departed. Ichabod is written over the door. It's right back in there in the back room. We're sitting back there listening. I'm like, Lord, listen to this man. Brother Childers said, this is awful funny. He says, you say Ichabod is written over the door. That means the glory of God has departed. That's biblical. It says, you say the glory of God has departed. And that's funny because I'm here and I don't think the glory of God has departed. And you're here and you say the glory of God has departed. God's not in this place. What are you doing here? Why are you here? And I ask you today, if I'm not the man that's got the job, if I'm not your pastor, what are you doing here? If the glory of God is departed, what are you doing here? If I'm not telling you the truth, what are you doing here? Either I'm the man or I'm not. If I'm the man, get in here. Do your job. Hold your front. If I'm not the man, get on the other side and hold their front. But you can't have it both ways. Amen. Seth told you today.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, Seth, you said some good stuff. I was trying to remember one thing you said, and it slipped my mind. I sure wish I could remember because it was just perfect. Oh, I wish I could. I might have to listen to it again, but it's perfect. But Seth tells the truth. Either it's right or it's not.
Right.
Either the message is right or it's not.
Right.
Either God's God. If God be God, don't come in here half-stepping. Because you're not holding up your front. You're not holding up the line. I need you on your job. I need you to have the whole armor of God on you. I need you to be right there holding your place. Because if you don't, then Satan can sneak in through you. Thing about that breastplate that I loved about Aaron's breastplate. Did I ever finish reading that? And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold. Listen to this. This is what it put. They had the breastplate on. Everybody had a breastplate, but Aaron's was special. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, verse 36, and grave upon it like the engraving of the insignia, holiness to the Lord. Now, the thing I loved about Aaron's breastplate, it doesn't say here. I didn't bring that scripture, but Aaron's breastplate, they made this special item, Urim Thurim. And it was made of the jewels of the birthdays of all of the tribes. And the thing about this tool, it's set on top of the breastplate. And when you approached Aaron and you told him something, Aaron would wait. Breastplate of truth, Aaron would wait to see if that breastplate would light up. If it would light up, it was truth. If it didn't light up, God wasn't in it. God went behind it. That's the breastplate. That's what we need to wear. We need to have that. When you come before God, when you come before the congregation of the saints, when you come to the house of God, you should be wearing that breastplate of truth. Because we are. We're wearing it. Know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, that breastplate, right there in front of you. If you're lying, the bride knows. You say, well, this person got up and they testified. He made that up. It wasn't a bit of truth. Well, we know. Don't even have to tell me. I got the breastplate on. And everybody that's in, you know, Sister Christy told us that they didn't get to testify because people called it test-a-lying. Let them test a lie. I got the breastplate on. He said, but if they get up and lie and you eat that, I ain't going to eat it. If it doesn't light up here. See, the thing is, I don't need to protect you from the devil. You got your own breastplate. I'm not the only one out here in the field with a helmet. I'm not the only one with a breastplate. Everybody is. Every believer of God has the breastplate of righteousness on them. And you know truth and you know error. We don't have to protect. I don't have to protect you for that. That's what I said. I don't have to follow you home. You say, oh, Brother Moore, did you know Jay, when he went home, him and Courtney argued. So? I don't need to go home now, Jay. Now, Courtney. Now, y'all know. You know, praise the Lord, hallelujah. No. I don't need to follow you home. You got on your shield. You got on your sword. You got on your breastplate. You got everything I got. Everybody's equipped with this breastplate of righteousness. So you don't have to protect. That's why I've had ministers tell me, I got to protect my pulpit. You know, they won't let certain people preach because they've been married twice. They've got this, they've got that. And they got all these reasons why they won't let them preach. And I'm like, I don't have nothing to do with it. Let them preach. If they have a gift of God, the gift of God will manifest itself. And if the gift is not there, my breastplate won't even light up. I'll sit there, and I'll wait till they're finished. Then I'll get up and feed the flock. But you don't keep the devil out. You don't block him. You're not here to try to, oh, we got to, no. You just get dressed. You get dressed. You look at your breastplate, and I look at mine, and Don Deskins get up here and testify. I look down at my breastplate, and it's going ding, 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 ding. I say, amen, Brother Don. Hey, nothing but the truth. Say it, brother. That's all right. And Don gets up and says, God gave me a vision, and he's coming back in a helicopter. And the whole car, and I don't have to get up and say, now, church, I know that was Brother Don's revelation. I hope he's right. But I tell y'all. I'll look out there. Y'all be tying your shoes and praying that it's over quickly. But we're all in the army of the Lord. We all got that Urim on us. We're all got the reader that tells us what's truth and not truth. We go home, we have it with us. We go to work, it's with us. It's like one of those ankle bracelets. You can't leave, no, can't go nowhere without it. It goes everywhere you go. I can't help it. When truth is spoken, I hear it. When a lie is spoken, I hear it. When God speaks, I hear it. When Satan speaks, I recognize it, but I don't hear it. Aaron had that breastplate. Brother Branham said in the old Bible, they had three ways of knowing a message. First was by the law. Next by the prophets or a dreamer. And when the dreamer dreamed, when he dreamed a dream or prophesied, and on the breast of Aaron was the breastplate with what they called the Urim Thurim. The teachers understand that, perhaps. I just explained it to y'all, so now you all understand it. I know you do. I know you do. And then if a prophet prophesies and the lights don't flash on the Urim Thurim, it was wrong. If a dreamer told a dream and it didn't flash on the Urim Thurim, it was wrong. And now the devil takes a pattern of that and made one of these crystal balls. But God still got a Urim Thurim. And this is it. That's right. If a preacher preaches or any prophesies or a dreamer dreams a dream that's contrary to this word, this truth, then it's wrong. That's right. It must come from the Word. I'm a great believer in the Word. That's what keeps us straightened out. come back to the Word of God. That's what we have here. And when you hear the Word preached, it lights you up. See, that's what happens when you see the congregation get lit up. Oh, y'all were all lit up when Seth was up here. Y'all were like, truth, truth, truth. Nothing but the truth. But see, if you're spiritual, you watch spiritual things. If you're up here and you're testifying and nobody's lit up, it's time to cut it off and go sit down. And that's the whole body. It's not just the preacher. Y'all don't look at me. Y'all just like, well, I was looking over to see what the pastor can do. Don't look at me. I don't look at the ceiling like, yeah. Every man for himself. You got to know the truth. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Our young people should be able to wear their urine thurnum and be able to hear truth and know truth from a lie.
Amen. That's right.
That's part of the armor. That breastplate of righteousness. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained the law of righteousness. Here we were, trying to get this breastplate of righteousness on, and it was handed to us. Freely given to us. This breastplate was given to you. It came in your backpack. It was part of your dress. It was part of your uniform. It's a very important part that, see, don't leave church without it. So, oh, I'm going to go and fight the devil, and you don't have your breastplate on, you don't know truth from a lie. You'll hear a truth, and you'll think it's a lie. And you hear a lie, and you'll think it's truth. You'll be so mixed up, you don't know which way to swing. Devil's out here somewhere. That's what they did for 2,000 years. They swung at the devil, but didn't know where he's at. I know where he's at now. I can pinpoint him. I can shoot him right between his one eye. He only has one. And can't see out of that. I know the devil in all his works. I know him in all his tricks. Yes. I'm not surprised. I'm not caught off guard. The devil didn't make me do it. No, I did it because I wanted to. Come on, let's be honest. Yes.
Amen.
Come on, we get mad because we want to be mad. You can only, you know, you can really only be mad until you realize you're mad. Then after that point, you've got a decision to make. Do I want to continue to be mad, or do I want to get over it because it doesn't mean a hill of beans to my point right on the line where I'm at? That's like a husband and wife. They get mad at each other. Sometimes they stay mad for years. Years. Did you hear what I said? You only can be mad until you realize you're mad. Then you got a decision to make. After that, it's a choice. Oh, I get mad. You know, Jesus got angry. But he didn't sin. He didn't disbelieve. He put it out. We get mad. We think, you know what? It's my right to be mad. You don't have any rights. I'm going to be mad for 5 years. If you want to be. I told a couple. I've told y'all this before. I ain't tell y'all stuff I don't really do. Amen. This husband and wife, they were going back and forth. And I sat there, and I just let them go. And they're looking at me like, aren't you going to do something? I'm like, you know what? All I want is a bag of popcorn. So I'm just getting me a bag of popcorn, and I sit here and watch y'all do this. Because you both know better. And there ain't nothing I'm going to say. This is all y'all. You can have a good as home as you want. Or a bad a home as you want. It's your choice.
I've been in places when I was at Springfield Metro, I go to do inspections of homes. I'm probably the worst person to do inspections. I had to dumb down my expectations when I'd go in those homes, because some people just don't clean, period. And when they know you're coming, one would think, when they know you're coming, they would at least clean, because they know you're inspecting their house. They don't even have no sense to do that. You walk in, clothes all over the floor, mattresses on the floor because they don't, you know. And they're sitting there, and I'm serious. I went and did an inspection. This house had, it was infested with roaches. It was really terrible. And I go on to do an inspection. The mattress down in the living room floor, which is not supposed to be, they're sleeping down there. He's sitting playing video games in a house that was full of trash and dirt. And this is inspection day, and I'm looking at him like, but they don't know no better, apparently. I guess not. I don't know. But we got this and didn't deserve it. None of us in here deserved it. The Gentiles were given righteousness by the death of Jesus Christ. By his blood. He gave us this breastplate of truth. That all we got to do is just put it on. Wear it. And you know what the breastplate does? It protects this part here. All the main organs. That's what the breastplate does. And if you go out on the battlefield and you don't wear that, you're going to be hurting. You've got Satan's access to all of your vital organs, natural or spiritual. He'll play with your heart. He'll play with everything he can. And if you don't know better, you'll fall for all these lies, all these tricks, and you'll be just stuck. Put your breastplate on. Doesn't even make sense to go on the front line without it. Okay. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That sounds pretty much everybody. Ain't that simple. People think, well, I go to church. Don't go to the church of your choice. Go to the church that God sends you to. Because if you go to church of your choice, you're going to pick something with cushions and pad. People get mad at me all the time saying, why don't you put some padding on those benches? They've asked me that for years. I don't want you too comfortable. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know, some churches, they give you coffee. They have coffee rooms. And sometimes they serve it. Some churches serve it right in the sanctuary. And they just pat you down. Just trying to keep you all comfortable. But it's more than just calling on the name of the Lord and being saved. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Oh, if you're not a believer, it doesn't even count. It doesn't even apply to you. That's like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Everybody's like, hallelujah. They take that and put it on the socks. They put it on the signs and they walk in front of the cameras. John 3:16, you ever seen them? I know. At baseball games and everywhere else, they had those. They don't even know what they're doing. They think that whosoever will, they think that's everybody. Whosoever will is the elect of God. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard?
If you haven't heard this message, you don't know this message. Remember the disciples that came to Jesus' disciples, and they had been disciples of John, and John had baptized them unto repentance, and they run across Jesus' disciples and Peter and them. They said, well, you know, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's like, what message is this? What Holy Ghost? We didn't know. They didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. How can you have the Holy Ghost if you don't know it exists? What prophet? What end time message? What are you talking about? I don't know nothing about no William Branham. I don't know nothing about the message hour. If you don't know about the message of the hour, you're not in the message of the hour. Period. That's to start with. There's people who know the message of the hour and not in the message of the hour. But how shall they call on him in whom they hadn't believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they haven't heard? If you haven't heard it, you can't believe it.
Amen.
And I got as much God as you. I'll get this at home. You won't get nothing at home. Oh, I got my own relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't need you. You have no relationship with Jesus Christ. How can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without? You got to be shod with the preachers. You got to have the preacher. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. The more spiritual you are, the more preachers you need. Because spirits travel with spirits. Oh, you say, I'm spiritual, then I got to watch you. Because, see, you got to figure out which spirit's leading you. You got to check it with that breastplate. You got to see if it's truth or not. If it's not truth, let it go. Problem is, people don't want to let things go. I'll let go in a minute. When I get my thinking changed, y'all see me, I'll change just like that. I don't have to hold on my, wait a minute. I always thought it was this way. I always believe, no. Amen. Let it go. Amen. Get with the word of God. You say, I need to try to figure out when I can do that. Do it right now. Right. You don't have to leave the same right now today. Amen. That's what I love about the word of God. It so instantly changes you that you never have to leave the same. You can walk in here a mess and walk out here perfectly in line.
Amen.
How can you hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? If God didn't send you, oh, I got a message. If God don't send you, if that breastplate don't light up, if it's a message from God, it'll edify the body. If it's a message from God, it'll turn somebody on. If it's a message from God, it'll move somebody forward. God's message has never moved people backwards. You see people backing up all the time. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't be here. Oh, I can't. God ain't never done that. God always says, speak the word and move forward. He has no glory in those who look back. He don't want you looking back. He don't want you worry about, I came here today and I was a mess, but now I have to reconsider. Reconsider, just die. Lay down your thinking. You don't have to leave here the same. That's what's so beautiful about this. You don't ever have to leave the same. You see, I made mistakes yesterday. Today's a new day. Today's a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You say, I caused problems yesterday, but this is a new day. I fought with my husband yesterday, but this is a new day. We've disagreed about a lot of things, but this is a new day. You don't have to look at him right now. But when y'all get out of here, you say, you know what? Today's a new day. We had it wrong yesterday. But you know what? This is matching my breastplate. It's got all the lights going off. Like, that ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. But you got to have a preacher to do this. You can't get this on. I don't. You know, I'm so funny because I'm so secure about my job. It's like being the president of a company. You ain't worried. You ain't worried about what anybody else thinks. You're really not. You have your meetings, and you meet, and you let them talk, and you let them. But you know what? You're not really worried about them. Like Seth said, nobody moves till I get there. I don't care how many decisions they make before Seth gets there. They say, well, I think we ought to. When Seth walks in the room and says, well, we should just shut up. Yeah. I'm here now.
Amen.
That's the way it is when I deal with husband and wife or brother and brother or sister and sister issues. They got their point until I get there. When I get there, all bets are off. I looked at the husband. I said, you want me here? He says, yes. Wife says, you want me here? He says, yes. Then they both get ready to say, now let me tell you what's going on. I said, shut up. Amen. You both want me here, so now I'm here. This is what you're going to do. But you haven't heard my side of the story. You have no side. How can you tell us what we need to do if you never heard both sides? I don't need both sides. I've got the urethernum. I've got the word of God. I've got the feet trod. I've got the truth around me. I don't need. I had a brother one time. I told him what to do with his son. He didn't like my answer. He said, well, if I give you more information, will that change your answer? I said, no. He thought if he told me how bad his son was, that it would change my answer for him, so that I could do what he wanted me to do anyway. I said, no, I don't need your answer. I don't need more detail. I don't need to know. Sometimes I have brothers and sisters come to me. They want to tell on the other brother or sister, want to tell me their problem. You know, I really don't need it. Sometimes I let you air it. But you know what? It doesn't even go in this ear and out this. I was like, when they finished, they take a breath. I said, now, here's what we're going to do. And they think, well, I've heard the story. And they think, you're making a decision because you heard my point. No, it had nothing to do with that. You're your brother's keeper. You're your sister's keeper. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Husbands, love your wives. I mean, I got the word. You think this is 2024, but you got to hear all the details. No, I don't. Word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Answer's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't give y'all answers because I'm so smart. I give y'all answers because I got the word of God. Amen. That's where, let me tell y'all a little secret. That's where all my answers come from. I probably shouldn't expose that because now my job security is at stake. Yeah. Jeremiah's like, oh, I could do that. But I just give you the word of God. When you're fighting each other, whether it's brother, sister, brother, brother, sister, sister. I had sisters against sisters. They come at me. Brother Moore. I had one sister. Brother Moore, sister so-and-so said this about me. I thought, was it true? Well, she didn't have to say it. If it's truth, just turn it around. I mean, it's like, this ain't rocket science. I'm not trying to get y'all to go to the moon. I'm trying to get y'all to go to heaven. And it's not that hard. Only believe. But you can't get there without me.
Amen.
You say, oh, I hate it when he says that. I know you do. That's why I keep saying it. When are you going to stop saying it? When you finally believe it. Stay with your pastor. He is ordained to lead you through. It didn't say stay with your assistant pastor. It didn't say stay with your deacons. It didn't say stay with the smartest one in church. It says stay with that dumb pastor. Because all he's got is the word of God. Everybody else got an opinion. I don't have an opinion. Everybody else try to figure out how to make it this way or that way. I don't have that. No. I just got the word of God. I'm shod with the word of God. I'm talking about your feet being shod. Blessed. How should he preach except to be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Gotta have it. Don't go in the field without your pastor. Don't go out there without your leader.
Amen.
Have you ever seen a soldier go out in a field with no shoes on? You can't. Number one, when you don't have shoes, you know, when you don't have shoes on, you can't make time. I've walked with no shoes on, and you got to trying to figure out and stepping on things, a rock, glass. You need a pair of boots. Have you ever had on combat boots? I have. Those things trot over everything. You don't worry about the rain. You know how you when you got your nice loafers on. You got to watch. You don't want to step in water. You know. When I had my boots on, those boots came up to here. And when I had those boots on, I didn't care what I walked in. I didn't even look down. I just walked. And just kept on. You know, I'm making time. If you want to make time in this word, stay with your pastor. If you want to make time with this message, stay with your leaders. If you want to make time with your pastor and your leadership and you want to move forward, because this body's moving. Whether you know it or not, this body's moving. And if you're looking at the body and they're way down the road and your back here just... I'm coming. I'll be there. Just hang on. You better put your boots on. You better get behind your pastor. You better get behind the leadership. You better get behind the word because you're walking too slow. And if you don't watch out, I'll leave you. I stopped waiting for people. That's right. We were here Thursday night. For, the music practice is over. Clarice still sitting, chitting, chatting, sitting on the organ. I said, Clarice, get ready to go.
Yeah, you'll leave here.
We don't have time to dawdle around. We don't have time to take the back seat. We don't have time to slow down and try to make sure, you know, the time for making sure it's over.
Amen.
We had to make sure till we got to the prophet's message. And now we come to a place now, we know who we are. We know why we come here. We come here and we don't have to,
well, somebody going to testify? Somebody going to see?
Looking around. No. Get here. Like Seth said, this is not even served till I get up. I got something to say. I got something to do. That's the way we all should feel. That's the way, when you're on the front line, you don't have time to sit back and wait on anybody to do anything else. If you see the enemy shooting, you've been trained.
Yes, sir.
You've been clothed. You've been prepared for this thing. You're made for this thing.
Amen.
You don't have time to play around. I'm not sure. You better get sure. I don't know if I can shoot the weapon. You better learn. They don't even put you out there until they at least make you a marksman. You may not be an expert, but at least you will be a marksman. You will hit a target.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to shoot. Then get out of the foxhole. Go to the rear. We can't take a chance on you. I don't have time to mess. See, God told me this years ago when I was trying to herd everybody together. Come on, church. Come on. We know. Because I had preachers going one way, had congregations thinking another way, had everybody doing their own thing, and I'm trying to herd them together like cats. I'm trying to, come on, y'all. We need to get together. Come on. We need to all move. We need to move from the seventh day to, I remember I was talking about seventh day and eighth day, and I was trying to get the people out of the seventh day into the eighth day, and they were sitting there, I don't know. I don't believe. I don't know. I'm like, God told me, he said, stop. He said, stop trying to explain it to them. He said, you are a leader. Leaders lead. Followers follow. If they're going to follow you, they're going to follow you no matter how fast you're going.
Amen.
Quit trying to bring everybody. Everybody ain't going. And that's what I found out. I said, you know what? Some of those same critics who is sitting in this church trying to look at me cross-eyed, trying to figure out whether I'm in the right way or the wrong way. I started walking faster. And I started walking faster, and they started falling off. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, I don't believe that. And next thing you know, they're all gone. And now, you know what's happened? I told y'all years ago, put your seatbelts on. That's when that happened. I said, put your seatbelts on. And I'm going to start walking. Remember Brother Childers had that vision of seeing Brother Branham? Yeah. And he went to wanted to talk to Brother Branham. Yeah. And he said in this vision, he was walking next to Brother Branham. Brother Branham was walking. Brother Childers had to run to keep up with him. You know what y'all got to do? Y'all got to run to keep up with me. Because I'm not slowing down for you. I'm not taking back seat. I'm not taking away from this message. I'm going straight ahead to the rapture. And if you want to go, come and go with me. And if you don't want to go, get out of the way.
Come on.
I don't have time to play petty games with you. The bride's going to be right behind me. When I take a step, I look back. Jeremiah's right behind me. Jay's right behind him. And y'all are right behind him. That's the way it's got to be. That's the way it's ordained to be. That's what you got to have. You got to have your shoes prod. You got to have the fivefold ministry. Got to have us. You're not smarter than me. You're not more spiritual than me. You ain't talking to God more than I am. And you don't know a thing outside of what I give you. If you do, then you don't have no shoes on. Because you're not dressed. Don't go out in there without being dressed. Remember, I said we're talking about being dressed, properly dressed for the service. Our service, what is our service? Is to do the will of God. And you got to be dressed, and it takes all of this to get there.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir. Ooh, come on, Lord.
So you're just trying to make everybody follow you. Yes, I am. Amen. Yes, I am. And if you don't want to follow me, get out of the way.
Right.
What's that old saying? Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Amen.
If you know more God than our God, then come up here.
Come on.
Get right here. Run this church.
Right.
Run this place. I'll give it to you in a minute.
Right.
You'll break up so fast. You're not made for this.
Amen.
I'm the only one in here at this time made for this.
Amen.
You don't know enough to do what I'm doing.
Amen.
You haven't paid enough to know what I'm doing. Like I said, when you get 40 years under your belt,
yeah,
when you've gone through church splits,
yeah,
when you had a pastor that was hard on you,
yeah,
when you had ministers that criticized you,
yeah,
when you had churches around the world that talked about you,
yeah,
when you had people that walked away from you,
yeah,
then I'll talk to you about doing something.
Yeah.
But until then, shut up, sit down, and follow.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. You say, I like it. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you don't like it. Your shoes have to be shod with the preparation. Got to be dressed. Can't get there without me. See, I go to heaven because Jesus Christ died for me. You don't even know Jesus Christ then. All right. Let me move on because I don't want to go. Shield of faith. To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hebrews chapter 11. One little verse here. Little verse, but says a lot. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence, not things not seen. If you don't have the shield of faith, you don't have nothing to knock Satan off with. You know you're going to have to convince the devil who you are. You got to prove it. You're not just going to sit here and say, well, I'm a believer and the devil's not going to bother you. If you're not bothered by the devil, then you ain't. The devil should be worried about you. And every time he shoots a dart at you, throw your faith up there. I'm sick. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm in a problem, a pickle. I don't know the way out. And everything, I'm going to make a way out for you.
That's right.
We've got so many things, so many scriptures, so many promises that God has promised us that all we got to do is just put that shield of faith up and use that against the fiery darts of the devil. Every time he hits you, oh, you're gonna get cancer. By his stripes, I'm healed. You can't see no more. By his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
You got back problems. By his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
Oh, but my life is such a mess. How am I ever going to get out of here? If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got enough. See, all that's by faith. I got a tabernacle coming by faith. It's not because I see it. It's by faith, by revelation, by understanding. You use your revelation to just defeat the devil every time. You would say, why are you always happy? Because I use my shield of faith. Is everything always going right with you? No. Things go wrong all the time. But it goes wrong until I realize it's going wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Then I put my shelves up. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. There you go.
You can't get me with that.
That's right.
Oh, you're going to be unemployed. You're quitting your job 2 years before you turn 65. You aren't going to be able to make it. Got to make a way out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to be able to make ends meet. I'll give you all that you have need of. Stepping out on faith, believing God, trusting God. Say, I've never believed God like that. I've never trusted God to try it. Use that shield. It's there for that. In other words, the devil is going to fire at you. And if you don't use your faith, you're going to wilt every time. You're going to wilt. He's going to shoot you with some situation. Oh, Lord, why me? Because you didn't use your shield. I told you, you got everything in that duffel bag. Everything you need comes with the job. Everything you need. If you need healing, the shield by faith can bring that to you. Whatever you need. You know what? You have to have faith in this message. What I'm saying right here this morning, if you don't have faith, that shield of faith, to believe it, then you'll say, well, that doesn't apply to me. He ain't talking to me. I am talking to you. Brother Branham said, well, that's the way faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. As long as you set your faith on it and then anchor to it, there you go. You're coming to it. No matter if you can't see it or not, you know it's there anyhow. You're tugging at it, and it's pulling you. And any man that's ever done anything worthwhile, listen to this, has set a goal and then been persistent, perseverant to make that great. Great men did that. You got to set a goal. You know what? There's nothing worse than somebody get up with nothing to do. They get up. What are you going to do today? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't really have anywhere to go. You going to go make money today? You going to work? I don't know. No goal. No direction. Nothing. Just floating down the sea of time. You ain't going to get nothing done. Brother Brown said every great man that's ever got anything done set goals, set purpose, had a purpose. Every day he gets up. You should have a purpose every day waking up. If nothing else, your purpose should be, God, here I am. Lord, what do you want from me today? What do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go today? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to work? Lord, help me. I need your guidance. You don't just wake up every day, well, ain't doing nothing today. What'd you do yesterday? Nothing. What's your plan for tomorrow? Don't have one. You ain't a great man. Now remember, the whole Christian armor is supernatural. If you are a Christian, you say seeing is believing. You can never be a Christian if you believe that. For faith is the substance of thing hoped for and the evidence of thing not seen. You cannot be a Christian and have to see the thing. You don't step out stuff because you see it. By the time we get to heaven, you say, when I get to heaven, I'll believe it. Well, you ain't going. You have to believe you're going before you get there. You have to believe for your healing. You have to believe for your salvation. You have to believe for your solving of your issues in your life. You have to believe that. Cannot be a Christian and have to see things. The whole armor of God is supernatural. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and the Holy Ghost. It's all unseen. And a Christian doesn't look to what he sees with his eyes. He looks to what he sees with his faith. Amen. I'm doing this thing by revelation. Yes. I'm walking this walk by revelation. Right. I'm believing God by revelation. And if I have to see it, then it's no longer revelation, it's sight. And his faith cannot be based upon one thing. His faith can only be based upon one thing. That's the word. Amen. Now I feel like shouting Baptist. Me too, Brother Branham. Yes, sir. See, when you get to the Word, that's the living thing. That's the Word. When your mind and eyes can be single to the Word and focus that until you see exactly what God is doing, what a wonderful thing. You focus your eyes on faith. not where you're at right now. Don't worry about what it was yesterday. You say, well, I'm in a bad place. I wasn't pretty good this week. Don't worry about that. Look forward to what your promise is. I can do better. I can be more dedicated. I can surrender. That's what God does with us. Now, helmet of salvation. I got to get done with this. I think last time I was talking, I didn't even finish him. Helmet of salvation. I want you to look up helmet because we all know what it is, but we don't. We have an idea. I like the definitions. It's a hard or padded protective hat, various types of which are worn by soldiers, police officers, firefighters, motorcyclists, athletes, and others. It's a hard or padded protective hat. All right. When you got a helmet on, nothing can get to your mind. You're protected. You're not tossed back and forth and wishy-washy and trying to figure this out. In fact, one day you're a Christian, next day you're not. One day you're on, next day you're down. Not one day you're in, one day you're out. You're not that. You got a helmet on. Don't forget to take your helmet out to the field. Don't go out to the battlefield without that protection, because that protection is what's going to stabilize you. The protection is what's going to keep you solid, sound, and focused, marching forward so that when everybody looks at you, they see that this person's got their mind made up. I heard it this morning. Their mind was made up when they were testifying this morning. Their mind was made up when they were talking. This is what we're going to do. This is the way we're going to go. This is what I need. This is how I'm born. Your mind's made up. Romans chapter 8. I'm so glad Jeremiah stopped. He got me so nervous Wednesday night. He went over and read Romans chapter 8, 29. And I was sweating. I was like, oh, Lord, here he goes. Then he stopped. I said, thank you, Lord. And he went ahead and preached some more. Then he said, Romans 8. That's why I said, what? I thought, you're going back over there? I thought, oh, he's going to definitely get it now. He was at Romans 8 and 1. I was like, praise God. Let's see how far he goes. And I'm sitting there the whole time thinking, Lord, huh, Lord? And he was hitting off. I'm like, get it, brother. But I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. This is what happens when you have a helmet on. Your mind is made up. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can persuade you. Nothing can move you. Nothing can stop you. Not, you know, I've been doing that. You know why I say that? I ain't going to outlast you. Because I know me. I know I'm in here for the goods. I know I'm not here for somebody else. All the people I come here with are gone, mostly. There's a few of y'all here, but a lot of them, Don, are gone. And I'm like, I got a helmet on. You ain't getting to my thinking. You're not getting to my mind. You're not going to mess my thinking up. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? When your mind is made up and you're wearing that helmet, you're not in and out. This your brother, this not your brother. This your church, this not your church. This your pastor, this not your pastor. This is the message, this is not the message. This is a message, but I don't like nobody. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Mm-mm. Or distress? Mm-mm. Or persecution? Nah. Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? My goodness, what's left? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Satan's throwing those darts at us all. He's firing those darts. We got our helmet on. We got our sword on. We got our breastplate on. We got our shoes shot. We're equipped for this thing. All those darts are just bouncing off. And nothing's... I am just as convinced, more so now, than I was when I started 40 years ago. And I was a bear to be reckoned with 40 years ago. I was no plague toy then. When I was 19, 20 years, I'd smack you in just as quick as I could if I knew you were an unbeliever. Amen. If you did something that was not according to the word of God, I'd let you know. He'd say, well, you're only 19, 20. Doesn't matter about the age. Word is word. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Amen. And if you thought I was that way then, and I, believe me, there were people who really didn't like me back then because I was straight then. I was straight-laced and just like, hey, it's the word, it's the word, it's the word, it's the word, it's the word. Well, I don't know it's the word, but I would know it's the word. And if I was that way in 1920, you ain't moving me a bit now. What you got to? Nah. We're killed all day long. They shoot arrows. I've been shot at, called names, called this, called that. That shield just been bouncing off. It doesn't even matter. 20 years later, they come back and apologize. But that's okay. I shot them away with the arrows. And it's not about, oh, look at me. They had to come apologize. No. I just stayed with the word. When you stay with the word, you have no apologies. I had one brother tell me, well, we were both wrong. I said, no, we weren't. I was not wrong.
Amen.
You were, but I was not wrong. And I'll tell you in a minute. You come tell me, well, we were both messed up. No, we weren't. You were messed up. You just didn't know how stupid you were.
That's what it was.
I got the helmet on. I know in whom I believe, and I am fully persuaded. When you got that helmet on, nobody's changing your mind. Nobody's going to convince you differently. Nobody's going to tell you differently.
Right.
Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. We're not just barely getting in the rapture. Oh, we're going to get in the rapture and have some change.
Amen.
Right. We're going to be overcomers here and there.
That's right.
We're going to stand here and there. We're going to fight here and we're going to make it there. We're going to hold up our bloodstained banner now. You got to hold yours up. You got to take up your cross.
Right.
You got to fight this thing. It's not something you're just going to come over here and just, well, I'll just take it as it comes. Take it as it comes, nothing. You better fight.
Yeah.
Pick up your weapon. Put that helmet on. Get with it. I know you got everything in your bag. I got everything in my bag. Actually, you got everything in yours too. Because they gave you just what they gave me. If I'm an overcomer, you can be an overcomer. If I can black the devil's eye, you can black the devil's eye. If I can hold my head up and put that helmet on and be solid, secure, and know exactly who I am, then so can you. You should be saying to yourself, I'll outlast you. You should be. I'm not the only one, because he that endureth until the end, he's the same that shall be saved. So you should be saying the same thing, I'll outlast all of y'all. Oh, Brother Childers used to make me nervous when I first come here. He preached like he's the only one that had it. And he'd preach it so hard, I'd make me check myself. And I say, wait a minute. I do have it. I got it too. So I tell y'all today, I will outlast you. Because I know what I have are the goods. I've got the helmet on and nothing's going to change that. I don't care what you bring, what you say, what you do, what you try to do. It's never going to deter me from this. And when you fall off the wagon, I'll still be right. You say you're making me nervous. I mean to make you nervous. You got to testify yourself. This is every man for himself. When you're on the front line, you're watching for your spot for yourself. I can't watch what Jay's got to watch. Jay's got to look over here. I got to look over here. I can't fight for Jay. I got to fight for myself. If Jay gets shot, what am I going to do? Say, oh, poor Jay. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no. You better keep shooting because your brother's wounded and he needs you to keep firing the devil off of him while he gets him bearing and figure out what he's going to do. Am I good enough to fight? Do I need to go back to the medic? Am I going to pick my weapon up again? What am I going to do? Well, while you're figuring that out, I'm going to keep the front. I'm going to keep on. While y'all acting crazy, running out here, doing whatever, saying whatever, acting like whatever, I'm going to keep the front going. I'm going to keep the front blocked because sooner or later, you're going to wake up. If you ever wake up, if it doesn't kill you out there, you'll wake up and you'll get right back in that foxhole and you'll say, phew,
amen.
I'm glad you kept the line.
Amen.
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 We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded.
Amen.
I got the helmet on. I'm loaded with this thing. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature.
Amen.
That's including you.
That's right.
shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We got the helmet on. Nothing's going to move me. Nothing's going to mess with my mind. Nothing's going to tell me I can't do it. Nothing's going to tell me, oh, you're weak in your mind and you got problems. And if you're not careful, no. Nothing. Nothing's going to separate me. Nothing's going to slow me down. Nothing's going to deter me. Nothing's going to turn me around. Amen. Brother Branham said, and now we call ourselves the seed of Abraham, his royal seed, not Isaac's seed, his royal seed, Christ. And stagger at any promise, fuss with it, and say it's not so, and doubt in our minds. He didn't say it. Sit here doubting in your mind. That's all you need to do. Doubting in your minds. I doubt us being Abraham's seed when we got all that kind of thought in us. Abraham's seed staggers not at nothing. It calls things which were not as though it were, because God said so. He's a creator. He can make it so. He promised it, and that settles it. That's all there is to it. When God says it, that settles the whole thing. No matter. He wanted it. He told it. Another thing he told him to do is to separate himself now from his kindred and all his people. God, in order to get a man or woman, boy or girl, to obey him, you have to separate yourself from all unbelief. That's right. Until you're totally separated yourself from anything contrary to the word and believe it, God calls for total separation. The last one, and I'm going to do it real quick because it's 12:30, the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even under dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The sword, the word. Don't leave the word behind you. When you walk out of here today and you got all this other on you, hold that sword right there. Keep that word right before you. And if you do these things, you'll be a winner out in the field. You won't go home and feel defeated. You won't go home and feel alone. You won't go home and feel like I can't do this. You won't go home and feel like this ain't for me. You'll go out with all of this on that we just talked about today, and you'll be looking out here, where's Rabbi Jones, as Brother Branham said? Where's that devil at? What did he think he had on me? He don't have nothing on me. We find out, and I'm going to close on this here. We find out that he kills with the sword. The sword of the word, God's word, sharp, two-edged sword, slaying him, putting him down. Wait till them seven thunders utter their voices. To that group who can take the word of God and hand it there. It slices and cuts. And they can close the heavens. They can. That's all, he's talking about us. They can close the heavens. They can shut this or do that. Whatever they want. Glory. He'll be slayed by the word that proceedeth from his mouth. For the word that proceedeth out of his mouth is sharper than a two-edged sword. They could call for 100 billion tons of flies if they wanted to. Amen. Whatever they say, it's going to happen. Because it's the word of God coming from the mouth of God. Yea, amen. God always, it's his word, but he always uses men to work it. It's the word of God coming from the mouth of God. One more quote, and I'm jumping on down. Just one more scripture, then a quote. I don't want to leave the scripture out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
this work that we're doing, this battle we're fighting, this thing we're doing, and we've got the helmet on, we got the breastplate on, we got our loins girded, we got our shoes on, we got the sword in our hand, we got all this equipment, and use every last one of it. Don't go out here without any of it. Use it all. And don't feel bad about using any of it. Use everything you got. Said, put on the whole armor of God. Don't use it for a dress or just to parade up and down. But what is it? Put on the whole armor of God. And so that when you go home, when you got the armor of God on, you can take the sword of God with faith and cut your way through any promise that God's made you. If sickness stands in your way, cut it out of the way. God's promise. If sin stands in your way, cut it out of the way. That's right. The whole armor. If the devil shoots a dart at you, knock it off and keep on cutting. That's right. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Hallelujah. We've got everything we need when we join the army of God. We're not short on any equipment at all. We've got everything we need to get the job done. We need to be dressed for service. Don't go out here trying to do the will of God if you're not dressed for service, because you'll hurt yourself. You'll get in trouble. You won't fulfill what you think you're going to do, because you'll be busy trying to figure out what God wants from you when we got everything laid, everything supplied to us. If man can give you everything you need for the natural army, how much more does God give us what we need for us to do what we're ordained to do? We're going to do this. We're an eagle. We soar. I like that's what Seth said. He said buzzards, they just fly and they flap their wings. They work it up. They try to work it up. And then they're lazy. So once they get up there, they're a little bit of height. Then they're lazy. They just soar around in circles, round in circles, round in circles, round in circles. And what they do is they go around in circles because there's some dead item down on the ground that they're looking at. They want to make sure it's dead. An eagle, when an eagle soars, he glides way up high. A couple of flaps of his wings. It doesn't take much for us to defeat the devil. Just flap your wings a couple of times, and you got it. We're dressed for the job. We're dressed for service. Once you get dressed, then go into service. Then do God a service. You know, not like the people out there doing God a service out of his will. We are in his will. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that you've given us everything that we need to defeat this world, to defeat the devil, to stand strong. And Lord, we ask you to help us to take up our sword, our shield, our helmet, our breastplate, our shoes. Let's just gird ourselves up with your word in such a way that Satan has no access to us at all. That when we move, it's moving by you. When we speak, it's speaking by you. When we make a decision, it's a decision according to your word. And then the devil has no place to move. We've got him bound now. Oh, he'll be bound at the 1,000 years when we're gone. But Lord, he's really bound now because he doesn't have access to us. Only access is what we allow. And outside of that, we burn him, we curse him, we send him back on his way where he come from. Help us to dress properly. Put on the whole. Don't just take on part of the armor. Let us put it all on. And Lord, if we've dressed ourselves and we know the parts of the armor that we haven't dressed ourselves with, that we've laid aside, said it's not important, Lord, let us search ourselves, examine ourselves. And the parts that maybe we hadn't had on till today, let us put it on. So that when we walk out of this place, Lord, we'll walk out a victorious army, guaranteed to win the fight. Thank you for this congregation, how you've blessed us in so many ways. Continue to walk with us and talk with us and continue to bless us and strengthen us as we walk so that, Lord, nothing can hinder us.
Now that we're dressed, Lord, let us go into service for you. Let us do thy will, O God. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Don't forget, come back tonight. And be ready for the service. Amen. Board meeting tonight at 6. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Yes, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Won't you thank
so rich and free. You're dismissed.